Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Hump Day Hotline brought to you by Fichte, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network.
Hump Day! I was ready. I was waiting for it.
I was waiting for you to turn the color of your shirt there for a minute. My name is Joe Miller. I'm the co-host of this year's show. That guy sitting next to me, all excited about it being Hump Day in this year first wild card weekend, is my guy, Jay Spence, the King. We are here. We're going to talk about the Buffalo Bills, AFC East champions once again, and then we're going to look forward to the Steelers, but we might talk a little Hard Knocks. But at the end of the day, Jay Spence, like, is it time we fired this head coach or what?
You're asking me? My opinion hasn't changed. I still feel like, you know, McDermott's not going to win us the Super Bowl. So I still feel like after this, I feel like we should move on from now. I've said it publicly. I've been honest. If he does it this year, then I have no choice but to obviously apologize publicly and change my stance. But I'm still of the stance that we get to the playoffs. We haven't been back to the AFC Championship. I think if it's going to happen, the stage is set this year to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not doubting him to the point where I'm coming into this saying like, yo, he's trapped. I'm saying if he doesn't do it this year. Like, we've seen him get to the playoffs now. We've seen him win the division 4 years in a row. We've seen him go to the AFC Championship and then a divisional round and then lose. So we've seen him lose earlier and earlier.
Yep.
And now this season, we've had some hardships. We fixed it. They figured it out, got the number two seed. So that's encouraging that the team rallied around him after the article and whatever. But at the end of the day, how is the last game that we play going to end? And what game is that going to be? If it's not the Super Bowl, I'm still that's me. I'm still in that space where it's like, I'm ready for it. Give me my Steve Kerr. I've been saying it all season.
You've been saying it. I literally did not mean to gaslight this whole thing. I was just being silly. Like, hey.
No, that's how I feel. I like Sean McDermott. I'm not saying that he deserves to be fired. What I'm saying is, because he's a good coach. I think if he gets fired from here, he'll get picked up somewhere fast. Like, he's a great coach.
For sure.
I'm just saying, I think I'm ready for that next step. I'm ready for it. And I think Bills fans would agree, maybe not about letting him go, but more so just about, you know, like, hey, we're ready for Super Bowl, man. Like,
no, the question has to be asked, and it is being asked appropriately. Has he taken us as far as he can possibly take us? So I was, like I said, just being silly, because when you look at the turnaround and you look at what they've done, what he has learned, I feel like he's learned this season from what we saw in the Eagles game, which was that defense giving up 30 points in a multiple possession lead by going soft, which is what we've seen his defenses do and Leslie's defenses do for years. To see him now since then, basically, no, I'm going to keep my foot on the neck. I'm going to keep blitzing. I'm going to keep bringing pressure. I'm going to keep contesting catches. I'm going to stay on it. And it's working. It's like, oh, so you've learned something. So I was just more or less being silly, but that's a hot take right there. So my reasoning was, and I talked about this on Sunday, was that if the Buffalo Bills miss the playoffs to the likes of the Steelers, Browns, and Colts, who all have backup quarterbacks, that right there is, and you've got Josh Allen. That to me is like, okay, we got to have a discussion. Like, there's, we got to have some real talk here, guys. But that didn't happen. The Buffalo Bills obviously got in, got the two seed, which was great. But you started us off like we're in the thick of it. Like, we are in the thick of it. Go ahead.
It's just how I feel, because even now, like, okay, so the statement you just made about. But I mean, even getting into the playoffs, what you just said, I'm with you, right? So now we're in, we got the two seed. But now look at the playoffs. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers without TJ Watt. Mason Rudolph is starting. We can go down the whole thing there. And then, okay, so then if the Dolphins beat the Chiefs, okay, then they go. And then we got, you know, like, so you look at the way it goes.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs come to Buffalo, I expect us to beat the Chiefs.
Yes.
If the Dolphins win in the if we get, I don't care who we get. If it's the Browns, if it's the Texans, I'm telling you, when you look at this, the Browns have a great defense. They have one of the best defenses in the entire NFL. But you also have, the way they talk about Josh Allen and turnovers, go look at what Joe Flacco has done. Yes, Amari Cooper has woken up. He also has like 10 interceptions or like 9 interceptions in the short amount of time that he's been back.
I've not seen it. Yeah, I actually haven't been paying attention, but that actually brings up a really good point. Just that road to the Super Bowl. It does. It doesn't seem like the road to the Super Bowl has been easier than it has this year. And I know that, there's probably a little bit of downplaying what the Ravens have done and who the Ravens are this year. And I'm not trying to do that because the Ravens are obviously formidable. But there's something like Sean McDermott has shown that he can beat that football team. The team that he hasn't been able to beat is the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. But man, I was on Twitter today and somebody's like, they were talking about Hard Knocks at the end where Josh Allen was like, you know, we'll see in a couple weeks, right? Like, we'll see in a couple weeks. Like, he was just being nice and, you know, whatever. And somebody was like, oh, the script is out. And I was like, I don't want that. I want Pat Mahomes in Buffalo in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, I want Pat Mahomes in Buffalo in the and we're going to see what this cat's really all about because he's only played playoff games in his own stadium. He's never played a playoff game anyplace else. So, are you catching that echo? Is that what you're trying to get rid of?
No, it's not even my dogs. There's dogs in the backyard. And in a moment, I'm going to turn my camera off so I can close my window because those dogs are going. They're not mine. I don't know where they're coming from, but they're somewhere outside and they're just going nuts. And
good.
The audio is going to sound horrible. I'm sorry.
If you want to do that now, I can continue to vibe just off of this.
No, it sounds like they just shut up. So I'm hoping good. That that's
but the end. But I'd like to know where you are because you've been on the it was a couple of weeks ago. If the Bills beat was either the Chiefs. You said if the Bills beat somebody, I'm completely back on the bandwagon. Wholly back on the bandwagon. Yep. And the Bills are going to the Super Bowl. We're going to win it all. And I don't think I got there until the Bills won the East and then the playoff snapshot was done. And I was like, oh, we got to beat the Steelers. And then it's going to be the Dolphins or the Chiefs. I like our chances with both of those. Is there an outside chance that Cleveland could beat or the Texans rather could beat the Ravens? And are we going to get a domed Texas team possibly in Buffalo? Like, cause if the Ravens lose, the AFC championship game is in Buffalo. And now you're going to tell me that like, we're going to get a rookie quarterback with a rookie head coach for a dome team in Texas in 20 degree weather in Buffalo. I'm just like, or we have to go to the Ravens. We have to go to Baltimore. And if we have to go to Baltimore, we won there last year. And I know the playoffs are different, but
it's not even that. I think a lot of people, when they have that in our Bills community, when we have this conversation about the Ravens, I think we're looking at form like the previous years and we're assuming that it's going to be similar and they're not the same team. Like I get it. It's the Ravens and they're in Baltimore and they got the same colors on the helmet and the jerseys and Lamar is there, but they're a different team. When I watch that team, the run scheme is completely different. How they move the ball through the air and the way they're just it's different, man. So I'm gonna be honest, like the Ravens do make me nervous. They're the only team, but I mean, you can almost see a scenario as well where they end up having to go up against Cleveland. And if that's the case, you know, I think those divisional matchups are always tough. To me, those are toss ups. So I could see that one being something that goes different, but I don't know. Baltimore is the only team in the AFC at all that scares me because
I would agree.
I like CJ Stroud, but you know, I think they're a couple years before they get to that level. You know, I think they're the Bills when we went to Houston and lost. That's where they are right now.
If the Bills are the 7 seed or the 6 seed, and there's a chance that we have to go to Houston to the Texans and play in the dome in Houston for a playoff game, I'm more nervous than CJ Stroud. And I know CJ played in Columbus. And I've said this 1,000 times, you've heard me say it. Columbus is not exactly warmer than Buffalo. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times in the wintertime, it's colder in there than it is. It's only 4.5 hours from here. They just don't get the snow we get. So he's clearly played in the cold before, but there's something about being in Texas. You know, you're in Arizona. Like, you're coming home for the game this weekend, I think. You're probably packing several layers, right?
I don't even know if I feel like coming home. It's like you talk about. So it's like, yeah, I look at the game and I was like, oh, this is a game that's going to be incredible. It's the playoffs. I got to do it. Then I looked at the weather. I'm like, I don't know if I should book anything. So we don't know. We'll see. But
24 you know, wind chill in the teens, mid teens.
And you're talking about slush and all that. Like they're possible. In the second half, it looks like it might get nasty.
Snowy. Yep.
I don't know, Joe. I don't know, but I'll tell you the thing that's interesting to me is like now some of the analysts, you know, the national media members and stuff, what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is now people kind of have this expectation that now if the weather goes that way, it's supposed to favor the Steelers.
They run only. That's why.
But they just kind of figured out how to use Najee Harris in the last like 2 or 3 weeks. Right. And then even on top of that, James Cook is a 1,000-yard rusher. Josh Allen is Josh Allen.
Right.
We do have playoff Lenny for the playoffs. So I just don't understand. And I'm not even saying this to downplay the Steelers. I just don't understand, like, when you're looking at that and you look at the guys that they have on their roster as running backs or the guys to carry the ball, and then you look at our guys, you say, this favors the Steelers. I don't see that.
Well, it's Jalen Warren. Is that right? Is that the backup guy? Jalen Warren. So it's the combination of the two together. And I agree with you 100%. If there's something that scares me, the only thing with TJ Watt being out that scares me about that football team is effectively those two running backs. But we just beat A-Chain, right? I mean, A-Chain with a quarterback that gets the ball out fast. And the reality is, you know, they tried to do that play that nobody has ever seen before, at least I haven't, where he fakes this way and then turns around and pitches it out the other way, that misdirection play, which they ran over. And it got us a little bit. But I would say that in that Dolphins game, the Bills were – they very much were pulling the card of the Chiefs here. The last time the Chiefs played here, we were at Magruder's, or that was the show we did at Magruder's, where the Bills were like, we're going to let Clyde Edwards-Helaire run. Like, that's what we're going to do. If he wants to run for 150 yards, we're going to let him. And he did. I think he ran for a buck something or whatever, and the game was close. It was like within 9 points. And I think the Bills, they were content to let them run the football. And then they began to kind of figure it out, and then they shut the run down. So I feel like if the Bills could stop the Dolphins with what they have in their ground game, I don't know why would Najee Harris run us over? Like, I don't think Jalen Warren is going to necessarily run us down, but I think that's what it is. I think it's all about the run. And, you know, the Buffalo Bills, who are the running backs you're playing in that game? So you've got Cook, you've got Latavius Murray, you've got Touchdown Lenny, and you've got Ty Johnson.
I'm going Cook, Ty Johnson, and Touchdown Lenny. And Touchdown Lenny is my two. That's me.
You're gonna beef it up, right? You're gonna bring the biggest guys you got, which is, I mean, Ty Johnson, I don't know their metrics, but he's got some heaviness to him, and he's fast. So CJB33 says, it favors the Steelers because it destroys the passing game, which is where the Bills have the advantage. Does it?
But this is where I disagree.
They're going to limit possessions. So, hey, we're going to try to be the Buffalo Bills against Peyton Manning's Colts when Dick Duran is here. We're going to limit possessions. Peyton Manning's still on the other side of the field, and when he gets the ball, he scores touchdowns.
Josh, first of all, CJB33, with all due respect, because I actually had another, I did another show, and I had a feature, and they were kind of saying the same thing. And I'm like, when people say stuff like this, it leads me to believe that they really don't watch the games. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful manner by saying, like, yo, you don't watch the games.
Right.
If you think that weather bothers Josh Allen, there's been a couple games throughout his career where the wind has bothered him. You talk about the Baltimore game a couple years back when the wind was there, and that's fine. You could be upset. I wasn't coming at you. It's all love. But you must not watch the games if you think the weather bothers the way Josh Allen throws the football. If you're talking about the cold, it doesn't. If you're talking about the snow, it doesn't. That's right. Why they drafted him. So right. It's no diss. It's all love to you. I appreciate you jumping in, and that's why we put the comment up. But it's just not it's just not the way the Buffalo Bills are built. We're built with a quarterback to play in Buffalo.
So I guess the question, CJB, is why would the Bills, because the next one he says, I guarantee the Bills will have to pass it less. Why would the Bills have to pass it less? Because you're talking about a football team that I smoked them on back when the Eagles came here and Carson Wentz was the quarterback in hurricane winds, 45 and 55 mile an hour winds, and Josh Allen threw the ball 44 times or 41 times. It's like, why in the world? Like, I don't think they're afraid to throw the ball. So I would love to know. So, yeah, it's more the wind. I don't 20 to 30 mile an hour gusts. That's not going to affect Josh Allen. It's not going to keep them from playing their game. I don't think
it'll. And really, there's another comment that says it bothered him in the Cincy game. I'll be honest. Josh was not the worst player on the team last year. I don't know if you remember that playoff game. Josh Allen wasn't terrible at all. It wasn't Josh. I don't know. You know, so it didn't bother Josh. It bothered the offensive line. It bothered the receivers. It bothered, I mean, I don't know. But it wasn't Josh. His team didn't show up for him. And I'm not giving Josh an excuse. That game, his team didn't show up for him.
It was a rough game. I don't know that 20 to 30, 25 mile an hour gusts or whatever are necessarily going to be a challenge for this game. I think the Buffalo Bills, and we're kind of all over the place with this conversation, which is fun because we're just talking football. And we don't really have any topics tonight. We're going to go over the injury report, and we'll probably do the whole, game prediction thing.
A little bit.
Yeah. But it's fun just kind of having a conversation and just kind of walking around and walking through it. But, I mean, to me, the Buffalo Bills win this football game if they don't overthink it, if they don't get cute, if they don't do, like, throw in new things. Just go out there and play football and beat the Steelers, right?
I said it on Taking the Points this morning. I'm like, at this point of the year, you know who your team is.
Should.
You've played 17 games. You've practiced for 18 weeks. You've longer than that. You've practiced since the summertime.
Yeah.
At this point, you know what your team does well. You know what works and you know what doesn't. Don't come out and try to be cute. If what works is Stephon Diggs running a slant or him getting to the boundary and you hit him on that comeback, do that. If Gabe Davis is going to play, I don't know if he will. We don't know much of anything yet, but do what works for him. Do what works for. I don't want to do anything cute. Stop. Don't do none of this foolishness. Like, just go out and win.
I feel like you can look at the Dolphins game and kind of project Josh Allen in this game and potentially going forward. You know, when you're talking about athletic movements and throwing a football precisely and what Josh Allen has gone through to become the accurate passer that he was, and he struggled a little bit somewhat recently. It's much like a golf swing. There's things that, finishing on your front foot and yada, yada, and like making sure your tempo is right and coming down at the right angle. Actually, your drawback, coming up at the right angle, make sure your tempo is right, coming down at the right angle. And Josh Allen said in this presser today, he said on Sunday, he felt like the ball was coming out of his hand better than it ever has. So, not ever has, but like it's better than it has this year.
This season,
And he was, 30 for 38. Two of them were drop balls. Two of them were interceptions. So, And one of the interceptions was horrible. The other one, he was just throwing it in the end zone on 4th and 2. And had the guy dropped the ball, it actually would have been worse for the Bills because they would have gotten the football at the, what were they, 35?
I still think it was a bad interception.
It was a bad interception. Yes.
He had other options. It was a bad interception.
But that wasn't he actually gave up a first down because he didn't catch his first read. I'm just saying it didn't hurt the Bills as much as it was just a bad interception. My point is this. When you watched him release the ball, especially in the second half of that game, he was making throws we haven't seen him make, like accurate throws we haven't seen him make, like, or this year at least. I'm at least willing to say this year we haven't seen that from him. So if he's figured some of that out and been like, oh, it was always the eat the burger, right? Where his left hand is when he's coming through, or if it's the balance on his feet, where his hips are at. If he's figured, oh, that's right, I forgot, I wasn't doing that before. Like, I haven't been doing this or I haven't been doing that. To me, that spells a confident Josh Allen. That spells a situation where he's not going to be afraid to throw the football.
Yeah, it's I just, again, all the comments and even on Twitter and stuff, or X, whatever you want to call it at this point, about the weather
be being Twitter a factor
for Josh. It's Twitter. Mama named it Twitter. I'm going to call it Twitter. But it's, it's just like, I don't understand the weather takes when it comes to Josh and the Bills. And to be honest with you, I look at it like the weather in that situation, it actually is going to play an advantage for the Bills, even on offense, for our receivers. The route running might not be as crisp, but they know where they're going. And those cornerbacks and those safeties have to cover them.
Yeah.
And for the Bills, again, I just don't see Mason Rudolph tearing the Bills up, whether it was in a dome. I don't care what the weather is like. I just don't trust Mason Rudolph as a quarterback. So we'll see. I didn't say you don't watch football. See how people get sensitive? I didn't say he doesn't watch football. I said you don't watch the Bills games, because if you think that Josh Allen can't throw in inclement weather, then that means you don't want, because I mean, it's several games. We have game after game after game.
I would defend you.
I'm not here to offend people.
I would defend you this way. You didn't say that CJB doesn't watch football. You said people. Like people that have certain.
No, I said he doesn't watch Bills games. I said that. Okay. I don't say he doesn't watch football.
I was trying to let you off.
No, I'm going to stand on business. I said what I said. Like, I'm not the dude that's going to sit here and say I don't. But you don't watch the Bills games with high wins or whatever, if you think that that bothers Josh, because I can, we can list several games and, you know, he can be in the comments and be mad all he wants. That's cool. We appreciate you watching.
We have seen Josh Allen in high weather win games. Cause I'm the first guy that's like, stop forcing the ball downfield and they'll be 25 mile an hour.
And they just be going, but
chuck the ball 60 yards downfield. And
the ball cuts through the wind. Yeah, the ball just cuts through the wind.
Or he misses him by 15 feet. It's like, it just was unnecessary. Like, so it's funny that we have different angles on that. Last thoughts just on that Bills going into Miami. It was borderline storybook poetic. Like, what are your just last thoughts on the Bills going down there and just removing the souls, as we saw on Hard Knocks, from the Miami Dolphins? It was just, I loved every second of it.
I loved every minute of it. There were, well, obviously not every minute of it. There were parts that I was extremely annoyed with
or nervous,
you know. but I mean, just the way it ended the second half, the defense, man, like that's why I'm wearing the Poe jersey hoodie today. Like, you know, just the energy that, just everything, offense, defense, man, like you said, it was poetic. It was almost like a movie, you know. It was like watching the end of Sunday Night Lights, you know, and it's like, and then we're short and then they get the ball back. You know, and it's like, it looks, first couple plays, the completions, Tyreek Hill gets out of bounds, he gets another catch. And so it just looks like, oh, hell, here it goes.
Here it comes.
and then the interception, man. So, it was absolutely poetic. After the game, man, I called a couple people. CJB, I understand. I apologize if I offended you. Okay, Josh can't throw in the wind. It's okay, man. It's okay. I love you. But yeah, it was poetic, bro. It was probably one of the best moments, because you know, one of the things that I said, I know beating the Patriots in the playoffs a couple of years ago, the 47-17 game, was like a big deal for Bills Mafia and it felt good. But without Tom Brady being there, it didn't feel quite as sweet. You know what I mean? Like it felt just wasn't the same. So now when you look at this, and like the Dolphins rivalry is back. Like it feels like a really, like we hate each other. The fan bases is like, you can't, the game been over.
And we're still
the game been over.
Still clapping at each other.
And so it felt sweet, man. Like it felt sweet. This was one of the first, not the first, but it was one of those wins for me that it felt special as a Bills fan. Like the AFC East, we won a division in Miami. It felt like a home game. When the kickoff, when the return went, man, the place erupted. The pop from the crowd was so I'm with you, man.
Yeah, dude, it was fantastic. And then for them to just follow it up with just the Hard Knocks and obviously the narration and Josh on the freight train, like the way that they just point, because we haven't been on Hard Knocks before, like as the opposing team. So it was just great to hear the narration and how they kind of did the write up for the Bills and stuff like that. And yeah, that was, if you didn't catch it, it was great. And even the sound, I've watched all the Hard Knock stuff with the Dolphins. So even the character building stuff that they did with the security guy and the players and stuff like that, it was great too. So do you want to throw that up there, or are you messaging? Got our first super chat. I'll do it real quick. There you go. John DeFazio with a super chat. John, thank you so much for being a part of the show. We appreciate you. He says, what's up, fellas? Been going straight since COVID. You're my favorite content creators. Smash that like, he says to everybody. Hump that like. Honestly, think this is our time. We finally can adapt our offense to any defensive scheme. We are not reliant on one or two players. I 100% agree. And actually, to that point, it was absolutely amazing to see kind of the reemergence of Steph. Like, Steph just getting back into the game plan, and I don't even know what to make of it. I don't know if it was a situation where he had that injury a couple weeks ago and he was taking himself out of the game but wasn't disclosing that he had an injury. I don't know if are we to believe, which I think is foolishness, that the Bills were saving him for the playoffs. Like, I don't even, like, which you would never do, because if you save him for the playoffs and it doesn't work, you miss the playoffs.
Then
you
miss the playoffs. Right? I don't think that they were saving him. I really don't think that. What I think is, they were finding ways to win in spite of whatever his, like, whatever he was dealing with. And they were trying to get him involved. I really do believe that there was an injury. And I think, I don't know if I talked to you about this or somebody else, but I've been having so many conversations, but I feel like even like some of those throws where Josh either overthrows him or underthrows him. Yeah. I think Josh is used to the communication that those guys have. They're used to a certain connection. Like when Steph is 100, his speed is like this. So Josh knows, okay, that's boom. And I feel like if Steph wasn't 100, even off just a little bit, he might be a step slower with that injury. Or he might. So I just feel like that timing was off just a little bit. But other than that, man, I think now Steph is coming into his, we're getting healthier at the right time. We got DJ back. Yep. I feel good, man. Like going into this game, going into the next game, whatever game, I don't want to look ahead. Like it's the playoffs and Pittsburgh can absolutely, you know, we've seen it happen before. We lost to teams that we shouldn't have lost to, but I feel really good, man.
Yeah, it's super awesome. We got another super chat. So we got two kind of in a row. Zach of all trades, thank you so much for being a part of the show. McDermott still remembers that preseason game. He's going to tell Josh Allstott Allen to take over the game. One of the greatest, I'm good with it.
Fullbacks of all time.
I'm good with it.
If you're going to compare my quarterback to like the top two or three greatest fullbacks of all time, I will take it because that man is a tank.
Yeah, Sarah, who actually is going to be online again right after this show, says you guys are going to get tomorrow, a draft pick taken. Tomorrow. Oh, is it tomorrow? You guys are going to get a draft pick taken away from us. That's only if the team knows. My part, what I said was Steph didn't disclose it to the team. If he discloses it to the team and the team does not say something, then it's a problem. But yeah, so speaking of injuries, let's jump over into the injury report, which I forgot to load up. So give me 2 seconds while I grab this thing real quick. It is right. Where is it? I don't think it's anything that we don't necessarily know about as far as the guys that are on it. My dad sent me a Buffalo Rumblings article about Davis, Ty Johnson, and Terrell Dotson being out, ruled out. And I was like, wow, that was quick, like yesterday. So Tuesday, they've already ruled him out. It was from the game Sunday. So I found out today, I was like, oh, they're not ruled out at all. They're day to day. So this is the injury report as per the Buffalo Bills currently. And I know that Coach talked about it a little bit today. So Josh Allen, neck full. Obviously, that's a lingering injury from 2 weeks ago. Deion Dawkins. My understanding is from people that I know that Deion Dawkins, his finger was caught inside of one of the face masks of the Dolphins players. And
that's correct.
There was a fear that his finger could have gotten ripped off. Like that's how bad the laceration was. Gabe Davis knee did not participate today. Terrell Dotson shoulder was limited. He went off in a very mysterious way. Cause it was like, he was playing, he was fine. Then all of a sudden they showed him as a shadow walking through, like walking back through the tunnels. Like, oh, what happened? Are they going to tell us? Rasul Douglas, we have not heard anything about, did not participate. Leonard Floyd, vet rest day, did not participate. And then Ty Johnson is in concussion protocol. Taylor Rapp had a calf, did not participate. And then Vaughn, once again, had a veteran rest day. What do we make of the Vaughn situation? Like, what happens if the Buffalo Bills go to the Super Bowl and all of a sudden Vaughn Miller has 4 sacks? Like, like what do we make of this Vaughn? Like if he goes out there in the next whatever games and the Bills get bounced in the playoffs or they go to the Super Bowl and lose or win and Vaughn is a fart in the wind, you never even hear his name called, he's not around the quarterback or around the play or whatever, it's like, oh, I don't even know, like he's a shadow out there. But what if like we get to the Super Bowl and he makes 4 and he does, or the AFC Championship game and he has 4 sacks in the AFC, like the biggest game that we've had that vaults us into the next bit. I don't know what to make of this situation.
Well, for me,
vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Outside of everything else, like all, forget all the other stuff for this conversation. I really remember earlier in the season, and like, so first preseason, and when Von was tweeting out, he's like, and he's on his podcast, and he's like, oh, I'm ready to go now. I feel good now. I'm just waiting for them to clear me. And everybody was like, he's good to go. What do you mean? You know, Von is good to go. And I'm like, yo, you don't come back from an ACL injury like that. And they're like, Von knows his body better. And I'm like, you're right. I sound dumb because I'm not him. But then he comes back. I still feel like he's just not 100%. I feel like he tweaked it in one of those games as well. And I just, it was early on. I think it was maybe the second game back. And I think he tweaked it. And I just don't believe that he's 100%.
I think he tweaked it in preseason as well. He wasn't playing, but I'm pretty sure he tweaked it as he was like going through it because there was a little bit of a setback that they had. And then, yes, he tweaked it. And you and I are the guys that are always like, what do we know about, what's the one thing we know about Von Miller? The dude lies. The dude does not tell the truth as far as that goes. There was a pregame shot of him walking on the field and he was kind of limping. Like somebody was like, he's limp. I don't know if it was the correct leg. I didn't go that far into my research, but he was definitely limping on his right leg a little bit. And I was like, that looks a little peculiar, but it is what it is.
Shout out to my dog Rev, man. Shout out to Buffalo Fanatics and everybody over there. Rev says, what up, fellas? Here is who I need to see on offense going forward. Diggs, Shakir, Kincaid, Cook. God bless and go Bills. Hey, you ain't going to catch no argument from me on that. Now, I will say, because we just did the injury report, I do hope that Gabe is okay. Like, I don't want him to have any injuries or anything like that. But there's a – look, Gabe is a far he's inconsistent. I'll just say that. Because Gabe will come out and he'll give you the best game of – all time. Like he'll come out and give you five receptions for 185 and three touchdowns. And then for 2 weeks, he'll give you one reception for 2 yards or zero receptions for two games in a row. And it's like, I don't need him to give me the 180 every week. I don't need the three touch. It would be nice. You could do that, but just be consistent, man. Be consistent.
There's a church phrase that I use and have used, and you used it, I believe, on Twitter someplace, that your gifting will make room for itself. And I just feel like he's just not, and I've said this for a long time, but I think that line is a great way of saying it. He's a limited wide receiver. He's a great dude. He's a phenomenal blocker. He can only run certain routes in the route tree. At times, he has trouble catching the ball because he does that clap thing, the clam thing, which nobody likes. You're not supposed to catch football that way. I just feel like as a number two, where he is supposed to be the guy that's a big target for Allen, he's supposed to make himself open, like not to the level that Steph does, but close to the level that Steph does. And I just don't think he can. I think as if he's behind, and I know we get caught up with Jerry Ostrowski and the numbers and 1, 2, and 3. And what does that mean? Is Kincaid 2 or is Kincaid 3? And is a third really a third? And yada, yada, yada. And I know that there's semantics involved in there. But when we say 1, 2, and 3, we mean the primary target, not the X receiver on the field and where the ball is supposed to go. Your primary wide receiver 1. I'm the guy. I'm him, Steph Diggs. Number two, the second primary receiver on this team is Gabe Davis. And I just feel like he doesn't benefit from being in that second role. And I don't know that that's a problem. We've talked about it ad nauseum as Bills fans. And when he shows up, it's amazing. And when he doesn't, I was calling him Ghost, right? I mean, I was calling him Ghost Davis because he just vanishes for games. We definitely don't want him hurt.
I hate that because Ghost is such a perfect nickname. Like it's a gangster name. You know what I mean? Like
right.
You ever watch the show Power? I mean, like Ghost is such a strong thug right. name, you know, and then we give it to him because he's disappearing. And it's just it disappoints me, man. And it's like I, Gabe's mom is on Twitter. She's amazing. If you get a chance yep. to ever follow her or even interact with her, she's amazing. So I still feel bad sometimes even going on Twitter because I know his mom is there, you know, and but it's like in the middle of the game, man. It's like this Sunday. It was like before he got injured. It was one play where I'm like, oh man, they should switch Gabe to offensive tackle because he blocks so well. What the hell? He can't catch. But that's how I feel, man. And I can't do that during the game. I know I'm gonna do better. I'm gonna start. Right. I told Sal today I'm gonna stop drinking before the game.
Uh-oh.
And I'm gonna smoke exclusively. So when I smoke, y'all might not even get tweets. No jokes. No nothing. I'm gonna just be quiet.
It's funny.
Sorry, Rev. I know you're in the comments, but I'm gonna roll up, bro.
It's funny how texting with Spence and the fellas goes during Bills games. Before the games, he's in it, he's feeling it, and he's warning us like I'm feeling it. Blah 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 blah. And then, like you said, you start rolling it somewhere around the game starts, and like your texting like goes just like this, and then it's just flatlined. It's like, well, Spence is done.
Spence is gone. Spence doesn't even respond. He's gone. The phone is somewhere. Like it's somewhere. I have my tablet up. That's how I be tweeting because my phone, I don't even know where it goes at times. Like, it's just like my cousin was here Sunday. He's like, dude, it's okay. You know what? I was so upset about that Josh Allen interception. Mm. Both of them.
Yep,
but the one too. In the end zone, and I know a lot of time, like, I get it. Everybody's saying like, yo, it was better because it took 20 yards away from them and this, that, and the third. I hear all of that. And I get when people are trying to talk about like the little intricacies of the game that, you know, can make a difference here or there. You know what also makes a difference? Not turning the ball over. You mm-hmm. know what makes a difference? Catching the first option that was wide open for 4 yards instead of mm-hmm. going on, you know, trying to go for a touchdown in the end zone when you could have just went for 4 yards. That's what I, you know, so when I get angry and people are on this stuff and it's like, come on, man. Come on.
No, I can't disagree with you. I'm ready to buy into and okay to buy into this idea that he handles the football and he's 80% of your offense and he's going the Dan Orlovsky argument. I can buy into that. But the first interception was, I said it on my show, literally that's the first time since probably 2018 where at the point, like when he threw the ball, I'm yelling, what was that? Like, Gabe Davis was 20 feet away from Eli Apple and had like Eli Apple was cooked. Like he was so out of position. It wasn't even funny. And the ball just hit him in the chest. It's like, cause Josh Allen didn't even look. He like his arm's coming forward as his head's coming around and the ball's coming out. Like it was just, and then the second one, I mean, off your back foot through like chucking it into the end zone. Like Gabe Davis trips over his own feet. And I texted you guys and I was like, I've played some sports in my life and a bunch. I've never tripped over my own feet while running ever. Like I've never done that before. Like we've seen Daniel Jones do it and now we've seen Gabe Davis do it. So it's just.
And I feel bad that he's injured because of it. You know, I do feel bad that he's injured. I don't want anybody injured, but man. And just so you know, Joe's right with those texts. First of all, I respect and I love John and Jerry and Joe, but in this chat, sometimes during the game, and I'm like they'll say something, and I'm like, no, that's not what happened. So I'll respond, and Jerry's like, Spence, that is not it. I'm telling you, man, is it? And I'm like, Jerry, okay. And then my phone just goes somewhere because I don't even respond after that because I love those guys, so I don't want to be in my zone. And then ever, you know, like try to question it or not. So I try to be respectful. So I just remove myself.
Yeah.
During the moment. No.
Third down, everybody. Third down. So with that, everybody knows what that means. We are going to be doing, we're going to get to stat line predictions for Josh Allen for this football game. And we should get some interesting ones based on the conversation that we've already had. Also, just due to the weather, inclement weather, which also, by the way, as much as there was not wind in that perfect game, didn't he throw like 300 or 350 yards in that like that game that was like -5 degrees, the playoff game against the Patriots? He chucked the ball all over the field. But anyway,
you can't throw in inclement weather. I'm just saying that's what so stat 33
stat line prediction. And then score prediction. We've already talked a little bit about the Steelers. The Steelers, they're an interesting opponent in as much as, you know, you can make the conversation somewhat of the argument that the Bills backed into the playoffs, except for the fact that they're the number two seed and the way they got there, beating the Chiefs, beating the Cowboys, beating the Dolphins. The Steelers literally did everything they could to almost not win a football game in bad weather against the Ravens to get a playoff spot. Like they lit, there was moments in that game. It was like, oh, the Ravens are going to win this game because the Steelers were trying to lose it. It seemed like, I'm not looking to overlook it. I don't think this is a trap game. It's the playoffs. The Bills are not looking forward to whoever they got to play next. Right. They're going to go out there and handle their business. The Steelers are just not a formidable opponent. They are not at the level the Bills are. The question is, as it is every week, are the Bills going to play down to the level of their opponent? That's the question. I don't know where you're at on that. Have they shaken that off?
I think where I'm at, my confidence level, I feel like they've shaken that. And I feel like going into the playoffs, I think this team, the way I know the team, the few guys that I communicate with, they're focused. And I know every year is like, these guys are focused. They're focused. But to me, it's like it's a different thing. I feel like Jordan, for one, I feel like Jordan and Micah feel like this might be our last real shot at this.
Yeah, Micah said it today in this interview.
See, I didn't even get the chance to watch it. So, but I feel like those guys feel like this is our last chance to really take a real run at this. And I don't think they take that for granted. And I think Josh is the type of leader offensively that recognizes the other guy. Like, you know, it would have been great for us to have one for Kyle Williams. It would have been great to get one for Jerry Hughes. Those guys aren't here. So the guys that's been on the team, the guys, the best safety tandem in the Buffalo, some might argue, I don't know. I think it's the best safety tandem in the history of the team. You want to get for one for those guys. You want to get one for Stephon Diggs, who, no, he's not old yet, you know, but he's been a good receiver for a long time, and he wants to win. Mm-hmm. You want to continue the future in Buffalo with Diggs and Josh? Win. Winning cures everything. And I know I don't want to. I'm not the guy that's on here assuming that something is wrong with Diggs. I'm not saying that he's unhappy, but I'm talking about the way the media perceives it. And now every time he does anything on the sideline, oh, Diggs is so unhappy. But meanwhile, Tariq Hill walks off. He won't even shake hands and nobody says anything. Like it's not even a word.
But not even on the show. They made it seem like he was there. It was like he was there till the end and he was not.
And then we don't have to even go down this road. We're doing a third down, so let's move on. But it's like you talk about off-field issues. A guy like Tariq Hill has a history. He has a past.
Yeah.
So to me, there are certain things that are fair when it comes to, like, when you have questions about behavior based on past issues. Stephon Diggs has never given anybody any reason to say anything other than he's passionate. Now, it might get annoying that he's passionate. It might get a little annoying, like, come on, man. Like, but that dude ain't did nothing. I'm going, Buffalo Bills are confident. Josh is happy. Steph is happy. They're going to do this for the defense. They're going to do this for McDermott. They're going to try to save his job, and they're going to tell me to shut the hell up and stop asking for McDermott to be let go. They're going to win this game 30-10. I ain't even want to give them 10 points. I wanted to give them 7, but somebody cussed me out this morning, so I respected them a little more and gave them 10 points.
Somebody cussed you out this morning? What does that even mean?
Well, because I said that on a different show when a Steelers fan was like, you gonna disrespect us like that? You don't think we're gonna score? We can't even get 2 touchdowns? We in the playoffs too. And I'm like, okay.
I gotta back you up a little bit. So on the Stephon Diggs thing in Twitter. So like, I'm sure you saw it. I put out a tweet. Maybe you didn't because of algorithms or whatnot. But I put this tweet out. Where is it at? Here it is. And literally it says, am I right? So it's Stephon Diggs at the end of the game going in and bro hugging McDermott. And right. And you and I aren't following this narrative that Stephon wants out of town. He's a problem, blah, blah, blah. He hates it here. He hates Josh Allen. Yes, there was stuff last year and the way the season ended. But he has been the consummate professional this year and like all the stuff. So I put out a tweet based off this hug. And I said, am I right in saying that this hug was far too aggressive? That is a man who does not like his head coach at all. If he did, it would have been far more intimate. That was what I tweeted.
I feel like he was trying to do like a Taekwondo move, like a quick move and crack his spine. But he was trying to hurt McDermott there. He hates McDermott.
My point was, I was being sarcastic, which you were feeding into. It's gotten viewed almost 500,000 times. And the amount of people that thought I was serious, like the amount of hate tweets I got on that thing. And I just started just eating right into it.
Those are the ones you have fun with. Those are the ones you have fun with.
I was like, is this for real right now? You guys honestly thought that I was saying that he hates Sean? Like, I put out a tweet that said, I heard Buffalo Bills beat reporters. One of them has said that Sean McDermott has filed assault charges against Devontae.
People can't read sarcasm, and I don't understand it. It's like a loss. I feel like when generations, like the older people get, then you lose so much stuff.
Right.
And sarcasm is one of those things that's just gone. And I don't know. Leaving. Like, how can you not figure that out? Like, come on.
So anyways, did you give a Josh, you haven't given, did you give a stat line and a prediction, score prediction?
I'll say Josh 230 in the air, maybe 65 on the ground. Mm. I'm going to give him one touchdown in the air and two on the ground.
That's good. So Josh Allen for me, I want to see a clean game from him. And I think this is a game that he can have a clean game because I don't know that somebody told me, I thought I saw heard somebody say that Minkah Fitzpatrick might be having some injury issues.
He's not 100%.
Yeah, he's not 100%. So they're a little bit battered as far as that goes on the backside. I think this is going to be a clean game for Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen, I think you're right, 230, 250. I'll give him 245, 250 as far as through the air. I think he's going to use his legs again. The question is he going to get away, right? Is he going to have one of those 65, 70-yard runs that we've seen him do like we saw in the Tampa game and just that we've seen him do a couple times? But I like your kind of modest 45-yard kind of pace. So we're in the same spot. And probably accounts for, as you said, three touchdowns. I think two is all it's going to take to win this game, but I think he probably accounts for three. Score prediction for me in this football game, I don't see it being a huge, huge score, like runaway thing. Again, I want to see the Bills come out and just play their game. Just come out and play your game. Like, don't press. Don't do anything stupid. Don't try to rush it. Mike Tomlin is a good coach. He knows how to make his players play. He could game plan well.
30 to 10.
You're saying 30. I got more than two possessions. So I'm probably a 10-point win as well in a game that probably isn't as close as the score is, even at 10 points. But if you're 30 to 10, I'm probably in that 27 to 17 range.
See, I'm going to tell you what. If TJ Watt was active,
That's a big difference.
This would be a little bit different. And then also, I think people forget that their secondary is absolutely beat up. I know that the weather is bad. I see mom having she came in a little late, so I'll answer that more nice for mom than I did for CPJ33. The weather will be bad, mom, but I don't think it'll make a big difference with Josh. I think that, you know, we've seen Josh have success through the air with wind, with snow, with rain. So, you know,
and cold. Hopefully and I think, cold.
Yeah, and cold. And negative cold. You know, let's not forget the Chicago game last year.
Yep. It was
negative 25 or something. It was something crazy. So,
it was crazy.
You know, I'm going with the Bills, a strong Bills win there. But, man, TJ Watt being out. And then this was the part I was going to say before I read mom's comment. Josh is just going to pick on Levi. I'm telling you what's going to happen. They're going to try to... whoever's on Levi, Josh is going to try to pick him apart. And it don't matter for sure, because Levi, and I know everybody remembers from when he was in Buffalo, Levi plays off the ball a little bit more than most. Yep, so even if it's short throws and they just chip away at it because of the win, if y'all think he can't throw on the win, let's just say that that's an option there. Because go back and look at the game that we played against Pittsburgh last season and look at the plays that the ball went towards Levi Wallace, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a similar game plan this week. Sorry, Levi's my dog. Y'all know I love Levi. He's a great guy. His mom is great people. He about to get toe up this weekend. I'm sorry.
Well, before we get out of here, let's hear from our show sponsor, Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care. This is John Fina on the call.
Imagine waking up to a world that's as clear as your dreams. With Zeiss Smile technology, this is your reality. At Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care, our mission is your vision. Conducted by a team of expert surgeons leveraging leading-edge technology, our procedure is safeguarded, swift, and tailored to your eye care needs. Say goodbye to the limits of glasses or contacts. Embrace a world where your vision keeps pace with your life's aspirations. Contact us today at 800-309-2020 or visit us online at ficta.com. At Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care, we are focused on you.
This pace is money. At Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, we are focused on you. If you are, go ahead.
He one-taked it, too. Like, when we did it, it was one take. And he was like, yeah, I've been doing this a few years. You know, I know what I'm doing. I was like, man, you too smooth, bro. Like, he just one take.
Super appreciative of Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care and sponsoring so many of the Buffalo Rumblings vidcast programs this year. They've been a great partner, a great sponsor. Hope to have them back potentially next year, which would be fantastic. But why don't I get us up out of here? Ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Hump Day Hotline, brought to you by Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings vidcast network. Big game this Sunday. First round of the playoffs, Buffalo Bills versus the Steelers. Steelers in Buffalo. Can't wait for it. Any last final thoughts, words, anything?
Love each other. And I know I say that at the end of my show time. And I know I want to say this again. I said it on Code of Conduct this week. I do want to say the win was great. It was a lot of fun. And I know those who went down enjoyed it. But there was a young man that lost his life. And, you know, he was murdered over, I don't know the full story. I don't know what happened, but I'm just saying, like, you know, moments like that is a continual reminder to me that, you know, sometimes, you know, you can be somewhere for fun and something can happen. You can be somewhere shopping for groceries. Something can happen. Mm-hmm. You can be at school or at a concert and something can happen. So I just want to say, you know, like this year, be intentional about loving people and letting the people who you love know you love them. Like, be intentional about that. If you never listen to anything Spence says, like, please try to take that and adopt that to your life. It wasn't a traffic incident. Well, it was a traffic incident, but it was started. A shooting. So
it started in the parking lot or the stadium. It started like I believe they were chirping at each other down the, and then it escalated. It, what are we doing here? It's football. It's a football game. Like, what are we doing?
It's a game, man.
It's a game.
It's a game. So
and our football jerseys aren't gang colors. Like, what are we, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not life or death me anyways. But yes, well said. Perfectly said. Love each other, everybody. For me, for Jay Spencer King, for Buffalo Rumblings, line the game tomorrow. We'll talk to you guys later. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more, strengthen security posture, and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's VANTA.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.